Now some news from the world of sports, and oh my gosh, a lot went on, even off the field or off the court in this instance. Yesterday, the world's best basketball player changed uniforms yet again, this time trying on the bright yellow and purple worn by such luminaries of the sport as Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Kobe Bryant. LeBron James has inked a four-year, $154 million deal to be the next great superstar for the Los Angeles Lakers. It's a move that shifts the tectonic plates beneath the hoops world, the balance of power firmly now on the West Coast. And if the Lakers can land disgruntled Spurs forward Kawhi Leonard next, even the Golden State Warriors might take notice. And what about in hockey? Yes, over the weekend, one of the best players in the world in the NHL decided to head home. John Tavares is a native of Toronto, and he will be joining the Maple Leafs next year, one of the truly elite centers in the game. The Leafs have wrapped him up for 7 years and an average $11 million per, which is a hefty price tag, but if hockey mad Toronto, which hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 1967, can get one out of it, the Leafs will consider it a bargain. Tavares even tweeted a picture of himself as a little kid sleeping under Maple Leafs covers with his head resting on a Maple Leafs pillow. It was pretty cute. And he does join a young, stacked roster of talent as a mere 27-year-old himself. So the call here is not whether the Leafs will win a cup with Tavares, but how many they will get during his tenure. To the World Cup now, and yet another upset rocked the tournament yesterday as Russia eliminated Spain on penalty kicks after running to a 1-1 tie during regulation play. The Russians were considered one of the weakest teams in the field of 32. Most thought they would never get out of group play. Now the Russians are in the quarterfinals, and good luck finding any vodka left in Moscow bars after that win went down yesterday. Spain was unlucky in this one, it has to be said. They were nursing a 1-0 lead when a corner by Russia resulted in a deflected ball that hit the back of the Spanish defender's forearm. He had his back to the play. He never saw the ball coming. It certainly was not intentional, but it happened inside the penalty area, and the yellow card was issued for a handball, and the Russians converted on the PK to tie it. After that, Spain really has no one to blame but themselves. They controlled the ball for the lion's share of the match, but they were tentative in their attack, far too complacent with their offense, and they didn't play with any sense of urgency, needed to score the go-ahead goal and avoid extra time, followed by penalty kicks to decide the match, which the Russians won 4-3. Because when it comes down to penalty kicks, it's really almost like flipping a coin. In the next match, it was the same story. Denmark and Croatia also needing penalty kicks to decide after a 1-1 draw. And Denmark's keeper Kasper Schmeichel really deserved better. He was absolutely brilliant in this one, turning away a penalty kick late in extra time that would have given Croatia the victory right there. He made two more saves in the PK round to decide it, but Croatia's keeper turned away three Danish attempts, actually one of them helped out by the post. And Croatia is next to take on Russia through in the next knockout phase. And while I know this will not fly for purists, I do wish there was a way to avoid ending these amazing contests with penalty kicks. I mean, how about one player from each team taken off the pitch during the extra time periods? It would open the field up more, increase the chances of a goal being scored properly to win a match rather than the random lottery of a penalty kick. It's just an idea. Don't go crazy if you're a soccer purist. Two knockout games are on the docket today. Mexico tries for an upset of Brazil, and Belgium will be heavily favored against Japan. By now, any New York Yankees fans listening to the sports report will accuse me of burying the news about who won the much-anticipated three-game series between the Yankees and Boston Red Sox, and they would be right. The rubber game of the series was a blowout as the Yankees beat the stuffing out of David Price last night, blasting five home runs in an 11-1 rout. Three of those homers courtesy of one player, Aaron Hicks, in a game that was essentially over after the first inning. Price has been mostly very good for the Red Sox this year, but he said after the game needs to change his approach against the Yankees. That would be an understatement. His line last night, 3 1/3 innings, giving up 9 hits and 8 runs, all earned with 5 home runs served up as the Yankees move percentage points ahead of the Red Sox for first place in the AL East. The New York Mets can celebrate the month of June being over, winning for just the second time in their past 12 games. They beat the Miami Marlins 5-2 last night. The 2018 Mets set a franchise record for most losses in the month of June. That tops even the comical expansion version that entered the league as a doormat in 1962, so the win last night was more than welcomed as the calendar turns to July. Steven Matz got the win. He went 5 1/3, and the Mets were powered in part by a home run from Asdrubal Cabrera. The Detroit Tigers had been on a rough skid, 11 games in a row they lost, but with a Nick Castellanos grand slam yesterday, they ended that with a 9-1 win over the Toronto Blue Jays. New York Penn League, the Vermont Lake Monsters played comeback ball last night against the Tri-City Valley Cats. Monsters trailed 8-6 in the 10th inning, but they scraped together a couple of runs to tie it, then won the game in the bottom of the 11th on a walk-off single by Peyton Squire at Centennial Field. And in the NECBL, the Vermont Mountaineers also played extras, a 14-inning marathon against the Keene Swamp Bats last night that went Keene's way when they scored two runs in the top of the 14th and hung on for a 9-7 win.